Now, last week we started, and I want to continue right now. I want us to go to Acts chapter 1. We went from Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 14. I want to pick it up here, and we're just going to go right down the scriptures, talk about it, look at some of the things. What we're trying to do is I'm trying to give you enough background information that we can prove something. It happened at the conference. I've expanded on this before. The people, even in the grace movement, Cornelius Stamm says the King James Bible is wrong when it comes to Acts chapter 11, verse 20. They call that word Grecians there. They say that's Gentiles. And that's not what the King James says. But right there is those Gentiles, those Grecians, as in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, and Acts chapter 9, verse 27, people recognize that as being Jews that spoke Greek. But I'm telling you, that's exactly the same people in Acts chapter 11, verse 20. They were Jews that spoke Greek, and they were called Grecians. That's why I'm doing this, to give you the background of Acts, to lead up to that, to show you that. It's going to take us a while, but you need to know where we're started and what we're trying to show in this one thing. And that's where we're going. So, if you'll go to Acts chapter 1, verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Now remember, there's not but 11 disciples here right now. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, and in parenthesis it says, the number of names together were about 120. So he didn't have an audience of about 120. Plus, Peter was one of the disciples, and there were 10 others. So that probably is about 131 people there. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Go over, so hold on to this because we're going to come right back. Psalm 41:9. And I want us to read a little bit about Judas. Psalm 41:9. Yay! Or in this case, it's yeah. My own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Well, that's exactly what Judas did to Jesus Christ. Judas was numbered, as you're going to see in the next couple of verses. He had part of the Jesus Christ earthly ministry here. Mine own familiar friend, he knew him rather well, in whom I trusted. Yes, Jesus trusted in Judas to go out and to do the things that he told him to do, which did eat of my bread. Of course he ate of the food that Jesus provided. Hath lifted up his heel against me. Yes, he did. Now, if you will go over to John chapter 13. At this point in time that we're talking about, this is before the crucifixion that I'm talking about. John 13:18. At that time, Satan had not entered into Judas. John chapter 13. Verse 18. Remember, we just spoke about his heel. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, the one we just read. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. That's what Christ said. He was telling them there in John. The betrayer is being identified. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. In other words, he's betrayed me. Now, back over to verse 17 of Acts chapter 1. For he was numbered with us. He was one of the 12 and had obtained part of this ministry. Go to Matthew chapter 10. We're talking about Judas. I think it's important to see some of the background about Judas. If not, Peter wouldn't have mentioned him here. Matthew chapter 10, verse 4. And all this right here is just showing Simon the Canaanite and who? Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Talking about betraying Jesus. Now, what in the context here, in verse 2, he says, these are the names of the apostles. And then just one of those apostles was named Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed Jesus. Now, if you'll notice, this is in Matthew 10. This is a long time before the crucifixion that Matthew wrote about here and said Judas betrayed Jesus Christ. Back over to verse 18. Now, this man is Judas Iscariot, purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. Oh, this is good. And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Go to John chapter 12. If you already know this, this is just a good refresher. We're supposed to edify the saints, and you're going to see this later. John chapter 12, starting verse 3, I think. I want to show you something here. Because back in that last scripture, it shows that Judas had the money. Watch this. In John chapter 12, verse 3, then Mary, Jesus was over 6 days before the Passover. He was over at Mary's and Martha's house, where Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead prior to that. But then Mary took a pound, in verse 3, took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. The word costly here. And anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Very costly ointment. Now, verse 4. Then saith one of his disciples, and his name was Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. This is it. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This is the reason, verse 6. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, because Judas could have cared less for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, he was the treasurer of all the money that was coming in to the apostles and bare what was put therein. So what it was, Judas was the treasurer. He got all the money. He kept the money. He stole some of the money. And the Bible just called him a thief. Okay? So we've identified him as a thief. Go to Matthew 27. Verse 5. Well, I think we're going to read a lot here. I want to start in verse 3, Matthew 27, verse 3. We're still talking about Judas and the iniquities that he had. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, talking about Jesus Christ, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. He changed what he was thinking about and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. He betrayed Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. But it says in verse 3, he repented himself, saying, in verse 4, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is it that to us? Seest thou to that? And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Don't leave it. But back over in verse 18, it says, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst and all his bowels gushed out. He hung himself, and I'm going to show you why he was rotten to the core and why his bowels did bust open. But hold on to this. Let's continue to read it. And the chief priest, verse 6, and the chief priest took the silver pieces, those 30 pieces, and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. Hired killer. That's what he was, just like the mafia. And they took counsel. These are the chief priests and the elders. They took counsel right then. They didn't beat around the bush. They didn't wait till the next day. They didn't wait a week off. They took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. This is important. Verse 8. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood. Remember that. It was called the field of blood unto this day. Now, verse 9. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. They valued Jesus Christ at 30 pieces of silver, the Jews did, one of their own brethren, the light that came into this world for them, but they didn't recognize it. Now, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. So you can see back over in Acts chapter 1, verse 18. Now, this man purchased a field. He had skimmed money, embezzled money from the bag that he was supposed to be entrusted with the reward of iniquity, theft. He was a thief and falling headlong. Well, let's look and see what happened. Now, if you know what happened here, the Jewish day starts at 6 p.m. at night. It goes to 6 a.m. Now, the night, you've got four watches. One's the evening watch. You won't see the night referenced as any type of an hour. You will, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., see it referenced as the third hour, or the sixth hour, or the ninth hour, but you won't see the nighttime referenced. It'll be the evening watch, the cock-crowing watch, the midnight watch, and the morning watch, but you won't see it. It's broken down to four pieces. So, what happened was, I'm just going to tell you, I ain't going to go over it very much. Jesus Christ was crucified on a Thursday. Right here. They had to get him in the ground before 6 p.m. That's this right here. Now, so here's what happened. This was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Now, Jesus was betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver right here while it was dark. They betrayed him, they tried him, and they got him down. So what did Judas do? He repented. I don't know what I've done. Satan came into him is what happened. Now, so Judas went over to that field that was out there. He owned some land. He was a thief. He held back some. So Judas hung himself. That's what the scripture said. So whatever time he left, probably right in here while it was still dark, he went over there, so this is the first day that he was hanging up on. See, this was a holy convocation. You could not do any work right here. They had to get him in the ground before 6. So they didn't know he went and hung himself. So on a Thursday, from whatever time it was, I'm going to just say 4 o'clock in the morning, so this 4 o'clock is one day. So it's just like he's been dead. If you remember when they called Jesus to raise Lazarus from the dead, he waited deliberately because he loved Lazarus. He waited 4 days. He said, I'm going to wait for your benefit until he's stinking. The body starts decaying in 4 days. So you start stinking in 4 days. That's why you should get people. If you weren't embalming people today, you'd have to get them into the ground before the fourth day because they'd stink at your funeral. But you embalm people now to keep that from happening. So that's one day. So there's another day. And this is another day. That's 3 days. Okay? So we've got, and I've got something wrong here, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. On the third day here, it's 3 complete days. So what they did, they couldn't do any work here. No work. No Sabbath work because that's a holy convocation. No work here. That's the normal yearly Sabbath. That's 2 days. They couldn't even if they'd have saw him over there, they couldn't have went and cut him down because you can't do any work. You remember in Deuteronomy where this guy, he went out and picked up sticks on the Sabbath. God said he's got to die. And they killed him. They stoned him to death because he went out and picked up sticks to build a fire. That don't seem like it's a big thing to us, but it really is. So there was no work going on here. No work going on here. And still, no work going on here not until this point right here. Now, what happened was he started stinking on this fourth day. Sometime during the daylight hours, they went in there, and that's starting the fourth day right here. starting in the fourth day. On the fourth day, he started stinking. His body was rotten. They couldn't do anything until Sunday, and you could work on Sunday. The shops opened up. You could do all kind of work. You could leave and go further than 2,000 feet or 3,000 feet. So, that's 2,000 cubits at 18 inches is 3,000 feet. That's all you could travel, but you still couldn't do any work until the Sabbath was over. Now, on the fourth day here, he started stinking, and that's what it's talking about. When they found him, even though they saw him hanging up there, they couldn't go out and do any work. He was over and he was buried in the potter's field. They cut him down. He was rotten. He fell down, and the scripture says, and falling headlong after they cut him, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. He was rotten. Rotten at the time. Verse 19, Acts chapter 1. I wanted you to see why, if they had cut him down on the second day, his bowels wouldn't gush down. But his body was rotten. Now, verse 19. And it was known unto all the dwellers in Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Asselgoma. That is to say, remember we just read, when those elders and those people of the Jews, they bought that field, that potter's field, and it was called, what did I tell you? The field of blood. That's what this is. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that the field is called in their proper tongue, Asselgoma. That is to say, the field of blood. So, verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate. We're talking about Judas. And let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric let another take. Well, what's his bishopric? His bishopric is his office as an apostle. He's an elder. He's an apostle. But that's the office that he held, and he was numbered with the 12. So let his bishopric let another take. So back in Psalms it says this. Now, how about going over to Psalm 69? All this is just fulfillment of prophecy. 69:25. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. What this is saying, this right here was fulfilled in over here when it's in Acts chapter 1, verse 20. And his bishopric let another take. Fill that position. But listen in verse 21. It says, wherefore these men, and this is what's so important about who got the position. See, you're going to have people that preach that Paul should have been the one that filled up that position, that these apostles, those 11, made a mistake. Paul is the one. Paul taught the same gospel. He should have been the one. Paul did not teach the same gospel as Peter did and the 12. He did not preach the same thing Jesus Christ did in his earthly ministry. Then he says, wherefore of these men, those 120 men out there, wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us, all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Now, we're talking about from over here. We're talking about when John the Baptist was out here, right here. Now, when Jesus Christ, he was the forerunner over here, John the Baptist was. He was announcing. He was the messenger. He was announcing the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. From that point, when Jesus Christ, and he was 30 years of age, when Jesus Christ came on the scene, John came out of a wilderness eating locusts, wild honey, and he came onto the scene here, and those people that were observing those, the Bible didn't tell you it was 120. But out of those 120 that Peter was talking to, how many met the requirements witnessing Jesus Christ here? When he was there and he first appeared, all the way through his earthly ministry until his crucifixion. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. Somebody that had witnessed all of these things, including the resurrection over here. Somebody, there weren't but two people there out of that 120 that witnessed Jesus Christ coming on the scene through his death, burial, and resurrection and his ascension into heaven and coming back. And for those 40 days that Jesus Christ was teaching the apostles, there were only two men. Let's look at it. Beginning from the baptism of John, verse 22, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained. And there was one person has got to take this Judas's place. Now, who's it going to be? Must one be ordained to be a witness? They had to be a witness of all these things from John the Baptist all the way through his ascension and his taking up into the clouds. Must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection? So that eliminates a lot of people. That eliminated Paul. Paul couldn't have been there. Paul did not witness John the Baptist over there preaching and teaching that Jesus Christ in the baptism of repentance, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He didn't witness all that. And he didn't even witness the crucifixion. Now, he didn't even witness the resurrection. So how could he be one of them that witnessed all these things? Now, verse 23, and they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. Two people, Barsabbas and Matthias, they were identified as two men out of all those 120 that even met the criteria to become the 12th apostle. So I know there weren't but two out of those 120 that had been there the whole time. Some of them might have been here, but they weren't here. Some of them might have not been here that witnessed all these other things, his earthly walk and his resurrection. But I'm talking about the whole gamut. There were only two, and that's who it was, Barsabbas and Matthias. Verse 24, and they prayed and said, Thou Lord, they prayed to the Lord, Thou Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. Now, with that in mind, go over to 1 Samuel chapter 16. That's right before Kings, guys. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Verse 7. Because when you get there, I'm going to reread Acts, but don't worry about Acts. And they prayed, that's the 11th, and said, Thou Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen. Back over to 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance. In other words, don't look at a person. Don't see how he projects himself. Don't look at his clothes. Don't look on his countenance or on the height of his stature. In other words, if he's an important person, if he's a ruler, or if he's just a pauper out here. Because I have refused him. For the Lord, this is what's so cool about Barsabbas and Matthias. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, and we do. But the Lord looketh on the heart. That's true. That's why, whenever they back over in Acts chapter 1 over here, that's why they're in verse 24. And they prayed. They knew that they would be looking on the outward appearance. They were familiar with the Old Testament Psalms. Now, they knew they'd be looking at this guy, whichever one of them had better favor than the other. One of them was a better looking man than the other one, probably. One of them might have had hair, one of them might not have had. One of them might have been fat, one of them might have been short and bald. You just don't know. So we would look upon somebody to take Brother Moore's place as, oh, has he been preaching 50 years? Does he know everything in the Bible like Brother Moore did? Even though Brother Moore didn't know everything in the Bible. Has he got 50 years of experience? Oh, we can't have that. He don't know all of that. So we got to get somebody. No, the Lord does not look on the outside appearance. He looks upon the heart. And that's what That's how you choose people. That's why Brother Moore prayed about this thing. That's why I'm actually the pastor here, because he knew something. He had prayed to the Lord, knew that I would be good for the church. You may not see it. The fact of it is, Brother Moore saw it. Then, and they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas, by transgression, failed, that he might go to his own place. Well, he did go to his own place. He went. He's the son of perdition. He's got a place there that's going to be coming back. You can tell him to come on in. Come on in. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. They pulled straws, basically, or just, they put their, you know, they wrote it down in Greek, and they put it in a hat like we do, and we picked out whoever gets the most wins, you know. So however their lots was done, and I don't really know how they were done, but Matthias was chosen, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. How about going to Leviticus chapter 15? Because a lot of people don't know what Pentecost is. You know, I guarantee you, just about every church in Pensacola, Florida, and throughout the United States is going to tell you that's when the church started, at Pentecost. Well, that's not true at all. There was a church started there. It's called the Church at Jerusalem. It started at the day of Pentecost. Our church, the one we're saved in, the body of Christ, did not start there, as we're going to see as we get over to Acts chapter 9. But that's exactly what people think. Back in Leviticus chapter 23, I want to go to verse 15. How do you get to Pentecost? Well, after the crucifixion, and I should have left those things up here. I'm just going to write a few. Say the crucifixion was here. Jesus Christ said, this is a Sunday. They come and found the tomb was empty. So, here's what it says. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. That's this Sunday here. The morrow after the Sabbath. So this is one day here. From that day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. Seven Sabbaths shall be complete. So we know seven Sabbaths, 7 weeks. Seven times seven is 49 days. Starting counting here. Then, let's see what it says. Verse 16, even until the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days. So you go after you count 7 weeks on the Sabbath, starting at this date right here, that's one, and you count 7 weeks, that's 49 days, and then you go to the next day, which is a Sunday, and you add one, that makes 50 days. Pentecost, Penta is 50. So that's how you get Pentecost, okay? Now, and if you want to just keep on reading, you can, and I highly suggest that you do, but all I wanted to do there was just to show you where it came from. And suddenly, verse 2, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. It didn't say a wind came. It said it had the sound of a rushing mighty wind. There wasn't a wind. It was a sound. Verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. We're talking about the 12 now. Some people try to preach the 120 also, but they're talking about the 12, just the way that I see the scripture here. Now, and the reason I tell you that is back to verse 1. They were all with one accord in one place. They had all things coming here, but you don't see it yet. But they had all their belief system was the exact same thing. Now, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues. I kind of look at it as if it was like, when you see like a tongue, and it's like flame darting around. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. A tongue looked like fire burning, wasn't burning, but it set upon each one of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's something else. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. See, you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. You're baptized by the Holy Spirit, but you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Go over to Mark 16, would you? Hold on to where you're at. Mark 16. Verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe, Christ said. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. So there's no doubt about it. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Some people call that slain in the Spirit. That's not true for today, but you go to a Pentecostal church, Assembly of God, Holiness, you're going to find out, you're going to see people, in my pretty well, my understanding of the Scriptures, rolling around on the floor, laughing, uncontrollable. It's just a shame. They're not filled with the Holy Ghost. They've got a demon in them. That's what it is. It's a demonic power. It's a dismembered spirit looking for a body to take over, and they do take them over because there's power in some of those people. Those things sometimes that you see are absolutely real. It's not of God. It's of Satan, but it's real. Don't ever think that it isn't. Verse 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. You know, you talk about the tribes were scattered. Well, I'm going to tell you what, they're not scattered here. Said, out of every nation under heaven. Verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, when it was told, and the multitude came together, they were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. He heard all these people out there, and it starts talking about who they are, as in verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans, unlearned men, fishermen, people that don't know anything, can't hardly read or write? But Jesus Christ, you got to remember, he empowered them with the Holy Spirit. They could speak in tongues. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through them, not them speaking. And how we hear, these people said, how we hear it, every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome. Listen to this. Jews and proselytes. Jews and proselytes. Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's like these 12 apostles, now that there's 12 again, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized, I'll say, with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. They were speaking tongues. They were speaking languages, understandable, not gibberish, not garbage, but understandable language. I'll just use Peter for example. Peter was speaking. He was a Galilean. He was speaking. Andrew was speaking. James was speaking. All of those, they were speaking to all these different, I'll say tribes here, different people from different cities and so forth. And those people out there were hearing the spoken word of these apostles. And they understood it. But these people that were out there were just absolutely amazed. How can this be? How can this be that these guys that don't even hardly speak their own language very good, kind of like us Southerners that don't speak English very well, like me, the fact of it is, they were just speaking the King's language pretty much. As it is an example that I'm using about myself. So, but a lot of people, and I don't agree with this, a lot of people believe that they were just speaking and the people were hearing in their own language. I don't believe that. I believe that these 12 apostles were speaking the language, 12 different dialects or languages, of not dialects, but languages of these people. Now, you've got Stam and you've got others saying, well, you know, there's more than 12 people, 12 countries here that's brought up. So the Holy Spirit must have fell on the 120. Didn't say that. Did not say that at all. So some of these, like the Parthians and Medes, maybe they spoke the same language. Maybe they did. But I don't believe every one of these spoke a different language. I believe some of them overlapped with each other. So that's why you had 12, and they were speaking 12 different languages. There's 12 tribes, okay? Why would there be more than 12 languages spoken? There's 12 tribes. That's what I got. We're going to continue next week. Starting at verse 14, and on our way to try to show you some truths. You have a good day.